Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Insurance Town Podcast. I am the Mayor Heath Sheeran and the host of this podcast. Super pumped you're here hanging out. I got a good friend hanging out with me today. And I couldn't do this show without my friends over at Smart Choice, the fastest growing agency network, hands down. $11 billion in written premium. That's with a B. 10,000 agencies across the country using them. Don't take it from me. Check it out for yourself, smartchoiceagents.com. They help you in so many ways you wouldn't even believe it. And guys, also my friends over at Canopy Connect, go to usecanopy.com/Heath. Get a discount, get a demo. Make sure you sign up under my code and get that discount because it is crucial and it's important and you're going to love the product. They've got so much going on right now with not just getting deck pages, but intake forms and how to build those and how to customize them. And oh, amazing. Guys, I'm going to slide out of the way here and let you check out this amazing conversation. Hari Srinivasan. What's going on, brother?
Hey, nice to see you.
Man, it's good to see you. Good to see you as well, man. I'm glad you're here hanging out with us. So where are you coming out of today? Where am I seeing you at?
St. Louis, Missouri.
Oh, wow. Not too far from me then. We're neighbors, man. I'm in Little Rock, so we're not far.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Are you a Cardinals guy?
Absolutely. I've been converted from a cricket fan to a Cardinals fan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So did you grow up playing cricket?
Yes, I played a lot of cricket, and it took me a while to get into baseball. But when I saw all the rivalries, Cardinals, Cubs, Yankees, Red Sox, I really got into the game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm a huge Red Sox fan, and so that Yankees-Red Sox is deep in my blood, bro. So I totally get that. That's awesome. I've always wanted to get into or watch a cricket match, and I know a lot of it's similar, but not quite. And don't they when they pitch, they kind of have this little crow hop little pitch type thing that looks so cool to me? And you have to bounce it.
Yes, I've got news for you. There's Major League Cricket that got started in America last year, and I can send you the link after this so that you can look at it and maybe catch a game.
Dude, yes.
Cricket is a religion in India. That's how they call it. I think majority of them watch the game, and majority of them at some point in their lives would have played the game. So, awesome. It's huge.
Oh, yeah. So talk to me, we know you grew up in the southern part of India. So talk to me, let's take a walk down memory lane a little bit and tell me a little bit about Hari and tell the audience, kind of lead me up to where you are today and what got you into where we are now.
Absolutely. So I immigrated from India with the dreams of getting to the Silicon Valley. That's where all the computer engineers at one point went. I don't know what I did. I took a big detour and I ended up in St. Louis. I don't know.
Did you catch the wrong flight? Or
I believe so.
Oh, that's funny.
But, life has plans. I'm a big philosopher. So sometimes the best laid out plans are the plans that life makes for you. So I was glad. It's 27 years for me now in St. Louis. I'm glad I'm here. I love this city. It's my home. And, this is where I started my business because, prior to this, I worked for a big reinsurer who had an office here in St. Louis or Chesterfield, which is close by. And then, eventually I learned the business, and that was foundational, in fact, in terms of what we are doing today with iCover.
So talk to me a little bit about, iCover, where did that go? Okay, so you came over here to go to Silicon Valley, but then what got you into the life insurance space?
Great question. So I ran a tech company prior to iCover, and it was mobile apps and, cutting edge technology. I sold my company and I was looking for a job. And then I got a job at a reinsurance company, one of the big players here in Missouri. And I spent 7 years there learning the business, getting educated, and then, also finding opportunities within the life space. And I also found my business partner and co-founder, Nicole, at this place. So both of us decided to start iCover in 2020 and disrupt the life insurance business.
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, starting a business during the pandemic in 2020, not an easy feat. So congrats that, you know, we're looking at almost 6 years in and you're still rocking and rolling. And so the reinsurance company, you know, for the life insurance, was it for the life insurance space or PNC or all the above, like the reinsurance?
Great, good question. All life insurance. They only focused on life.
Okay. And so once you transitioned, you know, what did you learn about the life insurance business that made you want to open up iCover? And, you know, what were some of those challenges early on that, you know, you wanted to overcome or that you wanted to help?
There are two things, Heath, and I know you know this, I'm saying something you already know. Like when an entrepreneur is obsessed on the personal front more than the technology itself, then it empowers you. It creates a madness within you. So both my co-founder, Nicole, and myself have personal reasons for going after life insurance. We both have our personal stories. It's a topic for another day. But that made us obsessed of making this process more accessible and more affordable. That got into our heads in terms of creating the best buying experience. So we call iCover the best life insurance buying experience, and that's driven by the obsession that came to us through our personal journeys, and then also the business that we learned at our past employer in terms of finding opportunities, especially in the life underwriting space. You know, that's where, you know, you could have the best app in the market, the fancy UI UX you can build out, but everything comes to a screeching halt when it comes to underwriting. That's what we decided. Let's get into that, you know, understand it and, you know, make it better.
Yeah, I love the idea that you talk about with the obsession and with the, you know, getting obsessed with the personal side of it, because I think too many entrepreneurs get into, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but I think too many entrepreneurs get into something because they see money or they see dollar signs and they see, you know, this opportunity to make a lot of money. And a lot of those businesses, if they're only in it for the money, they don't normally make it, or if they do, the UX or the CX or it's not good because they're just trying to be so slim that they forget what they're there for. But when you start with a passion, when you start with your heart, when you start up here, you know, I think that things last a lot longer. And so, and I think the passion is seen in the business. And so I would imagine, I haven't seen it yet, I'll be honest to the audience, but I would imagine you could probably see your fingerprints and Nicole's fingerprints all over iCover if we were able to look at it.
For sure. No doubt there.
Yeah. I love that you say that a lot. And so, you know, one of the things that, you know, you and I, you know, talked about previously was this idea, and it made me so happy. And I may even name the podcast this title of we were talking about single people, married people, divorced, all that. Should they look at life insurance in the same way? And, you know, at first glance, I'm like, well, yeah, sure they should. But then I start thinking about it as you and I talk. I'm like, maybe not. And so I thought, I definitely want to bring this up on the podcast and just kind of talk through this and let the audience kind of eavesdrop, maybe have their own opinion on this. So, you know, let's start with you on that. Like, talk to me a little bit about that whole theory and like your idea there.
Yeah, this is an interesting question. And I think a lot of insurance companies are waking up to this question, right? Like, it's not a one solution fits all, in my opinion, my humble opinion. Based on different stages, different coverage amounts and different products apply. Like for younger people, I think they should focus more on building wealth, right? Like whole life products, cash accumulation products, living benefit products. You know, that's what younger generation should focus on. As you take the next step in your life in terms of marriage and kids, that's when you're thinking more about protection first, right? Protection first and then building wealth as well generationally. So it's not a bad idea to think about using insurance to build wealth and pass on wealth as well. So that's for, you know, married people, in my opinion. And then, of course, when you go through something rough as a divorce, then it's mandated by law to actually get life insurance. So that's kind of automatic when you get there, where you're kind of looking at it. But even there, I would say look at it more from, you know, protection and building wealth perspective as well. So this is my, you know, take on the different generations.
You know, and I think that's fantastic, because I think a lot of people, especially young and even young married people building their family, you know, they think about it, and a lot of times they put that cost factor in there. It's like, oh, I'm just going to get term insurance because it's cheap. And there's that whole adage, like that, I think it's called adage, but that the whole thing of, you know, buy term, invest the rest, you know, and people just hang on to that their whole life. And they don't think about the whole life and the benefits of whole life or universal life or some of the living benefits you talk about. And so, you know, I wonder, you know, from your perspective and diving deep into this, you know, what are your thoughts, you know, first of all, on that kind of concept of people that buy for price and buy term and invest the rest, or buy whole life and cash it in, or, you know, build up those benefits? You know, talk to me a little bit about that.
You hit a good point there. You know, there are products now that have a whole life with a term rider. And I think, you know, that's an attractive product if you're looking from a pricing perspective, right? So I'm going to get a whole life product. I'm going to get the other excess coverage through a term rider or something like that. So we've been promoting these products to our agents and consumers as well, in terms of, you know, this is a nice product to have, because after a while, insurance doesn't make sense if you're paying too much money into it. Whatever level you are in terms of your financial situation, it doesn't make sense. You know, you have to make it applicable so that you're paying the right amount of money for protection or whole life. So that's an interesting discussion as well.
Yeah, it is. And so, as you and I've talked, you know, off air about this kind of stuff, my audience on Insurance Town is a lot of PNC agencies. There's some life insurance agents and some underwriters and some other things in there, but, you know, a lot of the times they'll ask me, you know, the PNC agents don't have a lot of life background, is like, you know, what are some advice? What are some tips, some strategies? What are some things that I could know? Like, if someone comes in and I'm looking for that cross sell opportunity after I sell their home and auto, you know, how do I know what to sell them, what to do, how to go that route and whatnot? I have my life license, but I don't know a lot, you know, other than what I have. So, I mean, is what you're saying, you know, is there some sort of analysis you put in there, like some line of questioning or, you know, some sort of pain point, you know, whatever it might be that you would suggest people maybe go through, certain questions they should ask, whether they're young, old, or divorced, or married, not married, whatever it might be?
You're hitting all the right notes today, Heath. I love that question. We created like a concierge service on iCover Direct, one of our platforms. And the concierge service is called a persona. So the persona has different age groups. And like you rightly said, questions tailored to those age groups, right? The age groups are like...
I promise we didn't script this out, audience. This was
no.
I got lucky and asked the right question, apparently. So go ahead, Hari.
Awesome. So you look at the persona, you answer a few questions, the persona is going to do the job for you, like the concierge service. And this would be perfect for the PNC agents to use the persona, because that will get you the right product based on the life stage and the requirements, right? Are you looking to the persona ask some basic questions to share, like, are you looking to save money? You know, are you on a budget? Are you building wealth or something like that? And then based on where you are in your life stage, it's going to give you the right life product.
And so that is something that a PNC agent, you know, they could have their own login for iCover, or is something they would direct the customer to, because it's a B2B and B2C platform. So I wonder, is that something that the PNC agent, if I had, you know, Insurance Town Insurance Agency, would I have my own login?
Yes, we can work in both capacities. So there are some agents who have taken, they have their own website, as you know, and they do a lot of promotions to that. So they've taken the link for the direct consumer version of it and placed on their site, and that's how they generate traffic. On the other side, there's also the B2B portion where we can create independent logins for agents and give them access to the platform. So we could do it both ways.
Okay, and then they would have access to those questionnaires and be able to pull those up or be able to send a link to the customer, correct?
Precisely.
Love that. What types of questions are on there that, kind of trigger which types of coverage that they should have?
So I think the questions are tailored around, starting with your life stage, which is easy. I think we have images and pictures to clearly
Yeah.
denote that. And then, depending on, where they are in their financial journey, that is pretty important to know what that is. And then
So it'd be
also,
like if they have two children and, or married with children, or if they recently been divorced, or they may ask questions, based on their age or where they are in life. They just graduated college, if they haven't, whatever it might be in their job journey. I gotcha. That's
Exactly.
fantastic. And I think that's another brings up another question of, or another good point of when you're asking some of those questions and it's like, I can imagine me if I'm on the phone and you're my customer and I'm talking to you and Hari, you're like, yeah, we just got married. We have my wife just we found out my wife's pregnant. We're gonna be having our first child in December. Then it's like, oh, and then you start having that conversation about getting life insurance for that unborn child so that when she comes in the world, she's got a whole life policy from birth that's gonna be dirt cheap that she can have the rest of her life. I think that's a really cool conversation to have too.
Oh my God, that's music to my ears. Even this is unscripted, but I'm passionate about this question because some of the insurance companies we work with have products that go to age zero, and you summed it up great. That's music to my ears when you get in cheap and the amount of cash you can accumulate and use it at a later stage in life, that's amazing.
Yeah, I'll never forget, when I was I think I was 18 or 19 years old maybe. And I was, I had I was in college, had a car or whatever. I had a really, not bad, but had a pretty bad accident to where I totaled my car and I didn't know what I was gonna do. Like I was a broke college kid and I was like, man, I don't know what I'm gonna do. I can't get it's my fault kind of accident, whatever. And so it's like, what am I going to do? Well, I remember my dad coming to me and was like, hey, I've got this cash that's been built up in your whole life policy. You
Oh,
could
wow.
cash this in if you want to. Now it's going to, affect your life insurance, but you could cash this in and you could end up purchasing, another vehicle. And of course, at 19 years old, whatever I was like, yeah, let's do that. I don't care. I got the rest of my life to buy life insurance. So I cashed in. I bought me a brand new 4Runner. So,
Good for you.
I was pretty excited about it, but at the time, like I was really thinking, oh man, I'm gonna have to like, ride the bus or get a bicycle or something. I don't know what I'm gonna do right now. I'm living off of ramen in college. And so it was really cool for me to think about. And I've always told that story, and remembered that when I'm selling life insurance and like, hey, there is benefits to having some of this. And then there's also, when I was selling life insurance, so many times when, you talk about living benefits, when someone might have some heart issues or have cancer or have, heaven forbid, some other kind of issue, knock on wood, that they were able to use their life insurance to help them while they were living. And I love that. That's something I'm passionate about.
Same here. I love that. And your example was amazing. That's like everyone needs to hear that when they look at cash accumulation products, living benefits, all of that. It's amazing what life insurance can do to you if you just move away from the concept of death, right? I think the industry is bogged down too much with death, death, and death.
Yeah.
And as soon as we spoke to a lot of young people when we launched our D2C platform, and a lot of them they said the same thing, like we stay away from life insurance because at the age they are in, for them to relate to death, something as powerful as death that doesn't jive in their minds.
No. And again, you're right. It's such a societal moral, you know, like a morbid type of situation where we're thinking about death, and, you know, it's brought up so often, and, you know, so many people that have a fear of it, and they, you know, they're driven by some of that. And I know a lot of these PNC agents, their clients are having those conversations as well. And they're having those conversations of, you know, if this were to happen, this would be covered on your home and your auto or your business or whatnot. And so, I wonder, as you talk to PNC agents, you know, or talk to people in the PNC world, what if there's someone listening right now that's not, you know, super familiar, or maybe just looking for some little tips or little advice that they might have, you know, what are some of the things that you're doing at iCover that may be different, or maybe something that they haven't thought of, or maybe just something to make it easier for them to sell life insurance? What could you talk to them about right now?
On the topic of easier, it goes back to our obsession. We have the easiest platform and the fastest platform on the planet. I know I'm making a big statement, but we can back it up once you look at iCover and how it functions.
I love that.
So they can you know, get access to an easier platform like iCover, right? Because the struggle is they have their regular job in terms of selling PNC, and if they have to sell products on the life side, it has to be simple and super easy and fast, so that, you know, the transaction is done, they get what they need to get, and then move on, versus sitting on that for you know, a couple of hours, weeks, or months. So from an ease and usage perspective, we have one of the best platforms, and we're more than happy to talk to PNC agents and connect them with appropriate products and carriers that make sense to them. And in terms of marketing, I think my favorite thing is put a positive spin, or put a positive meaning on life insurance, and say, instead of death, say preserve your happiness, rather than saying, you know, buy before you die.
I like that. And so when you talk about that ease of doing business, is it ease because it's a platform? Is it easy because it's an app? Or is it easy because, you know, the question that's streamlined, like what makes the iCover so easy for PNC agents if they were going to use it in their office?
Thank you for asking the question. So our obsession goes beyond technology and into the application itself. So if you run an application or buy a product through an iCover platform, you will be asked the least number of questions. And 95% of all of our journeys complete within 5 minutes, irrespective of the product. So that's what we bring to the table, is an easy, a simple system that doesn't compromise on risk. What we've built and the intelligence that we worked on for the last 5 to 6 years is all not compromising risk without speed, because I know the immediate question that will come to mind is, oh, you know, if you're fast, then you might be cutting corners. So that's totally not the case with iCover. We have the best platform, the fastest platform, but at the same time, we don't compromise on risk.
I like that you're not compromising to get to that speed, because a lot of times you're right, you'll see that. Or you'll compromise the speed to make sure the accuracy is there. And so to be able to find that delicate balance is pretty strong. So I'm imagining with your background in tech, that was probably a big, big part of your, you know, role there in the beginning stages and starting up with iCover to make sure, hey, we got to get this right.
Absolutely. And what we learned, right, like the life choice that pushed me not towards San Francisco, but towards Missouri, is basically to learn life insurance. The wrong flight actually helped.
Yeah, 100%. And so that helped you to make the decisions, and, you know, as using that tech background, that had to have been something that was music to Nicole's ears, like your partner and your team's ears, to say, oh, I've got this tech guy that's going to help us not only with the speed, but also with the accuracy.
Absolutely. That's what we worked on for a long time. And you know, I think a testament to that is also, like you rightly said at the beginning, where we survived COVID. And one of the things that helped us survive COVID is a belief in what we had. And not just that, also believing that the market will realize that one day. And the market has realized now. We work with 30 life insurance companies. So that is a big statement in terms of market believing in what we have.
Yeah, I love that. And so, you know, again, you know, we've talked a little bit about the B2B, and we could sit here and talk forever about that. But, you know, I want to make sure that we respect time. And I wanted to get in a little bit. If you want to talk a little bit about, which I know sometimes on our podcast, it could be a bad word, the B2C part of it, because, mm-hmm. you know, obviously we want to be able to sell the product. We want to make it take advantage of it. But what does the B2C side of it look like? And what is your benefit there for the consumer on the end, on the inside of that, the end user side of that?
The B2C was imminent. You know, we launched with the agents and agencies to begin with to get all the feedback and find you on the platform.
That. Let me pause you right there. Let me start that, because I love that, because a lot of times these companies will start B2C and then we need the agent. But you guys started with the agent and then realized, okay, let's go ahead. Okay, so talk to me about that a minute.
Yeah.
And I'll just start to know with you too.
You're spot on, because a lot of our predecessors or companies that are our competitors in a way started off direct to consumer and then moved the agency route because they said, we need to learn more. What we did was we learned from the agents. We helped them fine tune the platform, and it was imminent because 95% of our applications are in under 5 minutes. And then that automatically pushed us towards creating a direct consumer version, because we know, I know, you know, people might say this is a cliche, but buying online, that's a different persona altogether. Agents will have their consumers, and then there's a whole nother group of audiences looking to buy, you know, financial products, whatever that might be, right, online. And that's why we started our direct consumer, iCover Direct. And the benefits of that is not just having a faster platform and, you know, the best platform. We also work with some life insurance companies that provide benefits. And that's a big deal when it comes to life insurance, because everyone says it's a boring transaction. It's once and done. So we found these hidden gems, these companies called community insurers, who not only offer benefits, but they also put portions of their earnings into the community and help grow the community. So that's what we're passionate about.
I love that. Talk to me about that a little bit.
So when we started working with life companies and looking for partners, we found a group of companies. These are different companies. They are not-for-profit life insurance companies who are called community insurers. And their existence basically is to bring the communities together, make them members, give them benefits so that they do something additionally to rather than just giving them a policy. And then also they invest money into building these communities. It was a fascinating concept. And, you know, talking about how we organically went from, you know, working with agents to direct consumer, this was also imminent, because as soon as we saw these companies, we are like, this is the emotion we need for direct consumer, because these companies are literally working on building communities.
And you talk about working with young people. That is a huge draw for young people. They want to give back to the community. They want to know they're doing something for, you know, other people in the community that they live in and giving back.
Precisely. It's a big shift, right? Like now people identify or associate themselves towards brands in a different way now. Gone are those days where, you know, you're a large brand and people go like, you must be doing something good. Now people want to study about what you're doing as a brand. How are you resonating with the audiences in terms of what you're doing, your charitable endeavors, all of that. So yes.
Yeah, I think that's super smart. And so for the B2B or the B2C, it's iCover or iCover Direct. Is the website is just iCover.com, and that's the letter I cover?
Yes. For the D2C, it's iCoverDirect.com.
And then for insurance agencies that are listening that may want to check it out and see what carriers you have on the list and what the process, the appointment process looks like, they would go to iCover.com?
iCoverInsure.com.
Got it. Okay. Now, one last thing I did want to get into, because I think this is fascinating. Early on, and I was looking back through my notes here, so I want to make sure I brought it back up, but I wrote down that you talked about the underwriting part of it. And, you know, yeah, you can have the best tech, it can be quick, you can be accurate, you can be all the things, but it all comes to screeching halt if you have some underwriting issues. So was there some intentionality on your part to find different carriers to meet different needs, whether, you know, they have health issues or not, whether they're this weight or this weight, this height or this height, this gender or this gender? Was there some intentionality knowing that the tables can change quite a bit with those types of issues, height, weight, health, history, background, all that kind of stuff?
Great question. And thank you for asking this. What we initially spent time on building, Heath, was a system that's flexible in terms of, you know, end of the day, risk is a risk. And, you know, if you have the right kind of coverage, then the company will take the risk if they have the right kind of pricing. So we created a model that supports different variations of this, you know, based on your question, right? You know, heart disease or, you know, diabetes or things like that. So we have a flexible model that can flex based on what was disclosed from a medical condition perspective and assign it to the right risk. And then it comes down to the insurance company if you're willing to take it or not. So we can, you know, easily provide offers for 100% of the consumers coming in. Whether the insurance company wants it or not, that is their prerogative. And then, you know, that also opens up another question. Why wouldn't they not want it? So they have to now, based on what's coming in, design products to take on, you know, more and more different variations that come in. And that's what we do with our partners as well.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. Because a lot of times, I can remember even myself, and I cut my teeth in life insurance, but as a PNC agent, sometimes you get in this mode and someone may come in and you're talking to them about their home and their auto, and then they might say, you might bring up life insurance. Like, oh, I've been turned down so many times for life insurance. I can't get it. Don't worry about it. Now they can say, wait a minute, you know, talk to me a little bit more, what's going on. And depending on what the issue is, they could be able to say, hey, let's give it a shot through iCover and let's see what we can find. I have this great platform, blah, 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 blah. I think that's that opens up a lot more doors for people to be able to do that cross sell.
That is an excellent point. In fact, we developed a software specifically for that, which is more around the lines of quoting, where you just need bare minimum information. You plug it in, and then that product is going to say, based on what I saw, this is a sure shot carrier that's going to take you.
That's fantastic. I think that's awesome. You know, I love that. And so, and I've loved this conversation, and I've had such a good time with you, getting to know you even more. And now, you know, doing this podcast and hoping the audience feels the same way, that, you know, they've enjoyed eavesdropping on this conversation. If they wanted to connect with you, Hari, specifically, would they go to LinkedIn or would they go to, you know, your email? What would be the best way for someone to find, you know, Hari Srivastava?
Srinivasan. There you go.
I think I cut out. Sorry. Srinivasan. If they want to connect with you, how would they do that?
LinkedIn would be the best.
Okay, good. And that's Hari, H-A-R-I. And then if you're not seeing on a video, it's S-R-I-N-I-V-A-S-A-N. Right?
Absolutely.
Excellent. Okay. Hang on.
Bless you.
Sorry, audience, I had a sneeze there. Okay, so find Hari there. Now, we went through the website. Anything else that you would like for the audience to know about as we begin to wrap up a little bit? Did we cover what we needed to?
Yeah, I think, you know, this was great also from my perspective. You know, one of the best podcasts I attended. It's such light, great line of questioning. I really love the way you frame your questions and all of that. So really enjoyed being here as well and sharing the story of Harish Srinivasan missing the flight and then how Aikawa came into play.
You may have to build that into your story now, so I love it. Let's make sure we stay in contact, and I would love to continue to tell the story of iCover in any way that I can. And let's talk again off air soon, and we'll talk later on. I appreciate you, sir.
Same thing, same here. I appreciate you as well. Thank you so much.